You are listening to WSCA LP Portsmouth 106.1 on your FM dial. We are streaming on our website, WSCAFM.org. I am Mark, on air Friday nights, 9 p.m. until 1 a.m. 4 hours of underground heavy metal madness, black death, speed, thrash, gothic, doom, shred, power, prog, folk, and traditional metal. My website, blacknightmeditations.com. Go there for broadcast and interviews. You can stream and or download them. And speaking of interviews, it is time for another B&M discussion. Lee Harrison from Monstrosity is calling in to talk about the new record, The Passage of Existence. Hey, Lee, how's it going? How's life treating you?
It's pretty good. Actually, I'm on a tour bus right now. We're headed to North Carolina with Obituary.
That's right. You were drumming for Obituary.
Filling in for Donald for four shows. And then, I just got the call like 12 hours ago.
And how is the Obituary? I mean, I obviously you know what to do. You've been drumming for decades now, and certainly you know your way around the kit when it comes to death metal drumming. And Obituary is not, it's a little bit more grooving, a little less technical than, say, Monstrosity, but does it help you keep your chops up, drumming for a little bit something different?
Well, basically, it's a little more hard-hitting. You know, you really slam it because there's so much space in the music. So it's kind of cool that way, you know, you can just really, like, beat the drums, you know. And it's just fun because I've known these guys for a long time, so it's always cool. I'm having a hard time hearing you, just so you know.
Okay, yeah, and I could...
I'm talking over you a little bit.
Yeah, and I could tell that there's a lot going on there, too. Well, hey, you're on tour. You said you're on a tour bus, so I'm sure it's all kinds of partying going on.
They're all partying, so...
Yeah, well, you know what? Let's talk about the new record, The Passage of Existence, out on Friday, September 7th on Metal Blade Records. I've been listening to it. The label gave it to me a few weeks ago, so I've been going through the songs. And obviously, fans can expect a death metal album, of course. You know, there are no surprises here. But I will say this does not sound at all like this is from a band that hasn't released music in a decade. You know, it sounds like a logical follow-up to Spiritual Apocalypse from 2007. So how long have you been sitting on these songs? I mean, was this music written years ago, some of it, all of it? How old or recent are these tunes from the new record?
Unfortunately, I can't hear you.
You can't hear me? Uh-oh. How about this?
I'm just going to talk about the album here.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking you about, so that's perfect. Go for it.
Basically, we started recording it in 2015. We've been writing it since 2011. It took a long time, obviously, 11 years. But for us, it really didn't seem that long. It's just kind of how it went. But, it was kind of a long, drawn-out process, but we got to do it the way we wanted to do it. There was no pressure from any label. So it was kind of nice in that respect.
Well, when you
that, you know, just dealing with all the artwork and dealing with all the business and everything just took a lot longer than I was, you know, originally planned. But done, and we're happy about it.
Well, how about
it's finally coming out and people can hear it?
Well, I want to ask you about a few specific songs on this record that I like. One of my favorites is Solar Vacuum. What can you tell us about that song?
Still there?
Yeah, I'm still here, and I'm thinking, is there another more quiet place on the tour bus you can get to?
Is it not? Yeah, it's too loud.
Yeah, it is too loud. All right. Ooh, it's a little bit. Yeah, that's a little bit better. Can you hear me better now, too?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot more quiet. Did you have to go into the restroom or something in the bathroom in there in the bus?
Pretty much. In the hallway.
All right. Well, what you were talking about with the new record, that's exactly what I was asking you about, because I was saying it's, you know, sounds like a logical follow-up to Spiritual Apocalypse. You know, it doesn't sound like, that you haven't released music in a decade. It seems like you've been, you know, churning out these songs all along. So I want to ask you about a few songs on this record, songs that I like, specifically Solar Vacuum. What can you tell us about that song?
That's just like a quick, fast rager, you know.
Right.
Matt Barnes is kind of the main writer on that one. And it's got those spitting lyrics on the verses, which is kind of cool. It kind of harkens back to old Dark Angel. Or maybe Morbid Saint, Damien.
Morbid Saint, right.
And got some cool parts on the choruses are real cool, and just a real quick, fast rager.
And that's what stood out for me. Obviously, something like the lead single, Cosmic Pandemia, whereas this is kind of like the polar opposite, where Solar Vacuum just comes blasting out of the gate. It sounds like a song that would go over live pretty well. What about the track Dark Matter Invocation?
Dark Matter?
Yes.
That's a more famous song, mainly. But it's one of those songs where we just, like, you know, some songs come a little quicker, but that one was kind of one of those where we hash it out in the band room and, like, play it a million times and rip it up and tear it down and change it a million different ways, reconstruct and build and do all that good stuff. So that's kind of how that one went. And just kind of cool. I like, you know, it's got some cool parts. The whole middle section is real crazy. It's got some crazy leads, real psychedelic, kind of almost in the middle. I don't know. It's just a cool song.
And one other song that sticks out to me is Slaves to the Evermore. What can you tell us about that?
That's my song there. Kind of my baby, if you will. That one and Proselytize are my two babies on the album. I had this that whole middle section idea. You're originally going to have this guy, David, from Bogota. I think his last name right at the moment.
This is Blind Eye Meditations. You're tuned to WSCA 106.1. I've got Lee Harrison of Monstrosity back on the line, and I'm hoping we got a better connection now, Lee. Are you in the back of the tour bus now, or did you just jump off entirely?
Well, I'm in the middle in the hallway here. Nobody's sleeping, I don't think, so I think I'm all right.
All right, good. Let's pick up where
we're driving, so I don't know how good the signal can last or whatever. We'll just have to play it by ear.
Yeah, hey, we'll make the best of what we got, all right? Metal's not perfect, so the production on music is not always good. Hey, and production on the radio interview is not always good either. You know, we're talking about this new record, The Passage of Existence. I love this album cover. It actually reminds me of Blind Guardian, but I think that's a good thing, actually, because I'm a fan of them. But does that album cover, does it reflect the lyrics or the general theme of the record, or is it just really cool artwork?
It was pretty much just an idea I had. It was originally, like, the original concept. It's supposed to be, like, the Horror Infinity guy from our first demo, like, the guy from our first shirt and the first... our earliest demo, basically. And it's supposed to be him, like, looking sideways, and he's blowing into his hand, and he's blowing dust, and then the dust kind of is leaving his hands, and it becomes planets, and then the planets are heading towards a wormhole. And that was, like, my original idea. So I had my singer, Mike Robichaud. He ended up doing a version, and then we were going to do, we were going to use that originally, but this guy, he's a big new Bilek, ended up contacting us wanting to hand paint as a cover. So we thought it'd be cool if he'd hand painted that, this particular idea. And then, long story longer, he just ended up dragging things out. It took too long, 6 months later, you know, and
right.
Finally had to give up on him. And we ended up using a guy named Kimball, who we found through Pete Sandoval. So, and I'm just, you know, he did it within 4 days, you know, he hand painted it. It was like, you know, what you see is done in 4 days, and I know it's my idea because you couldn't have had it before, you know?
That's pretty good for 4 days. Hey, it's a killer cover.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, you know?
Man,
and he's done some other shirt designs for us, and so the guy's really cool, and it worked with kind of our style, too. You know, I wanted that left-hand path, kind of old dismember, Dan Seagrave kind of art.
Oh, yeah, good point, yeah.
So it kind of fits in that neighborhood a little bit, you know, with the hand painting.
I dig it. I think it's fantastic. I mean, come on, this is metal. Album covers are almost as important as the music. I mean, it's part of what we love about heavy metal albums are those is the artwork. That
it's
album
funny.
Cover.
We
I
always
love that.
Get, you know, people brag on our album covers, you know, so we wanted to make sure we got a good one.
No, you've had a few good ones over the years. I mean, you have, especially Imperial Doom, but
Imperial Doom. Dark Purity. I like Dark Purity. Some people, you know, they say it's 90s, but it is 90s.
Well, yeah, it is. I mean, it definitely looks of the time, and you can kind of pick out what a computer program was used to create it, but it still looks pretty cool. I like that one.
Right.
I mean, Rise to Power, maybe not so much for album covers, but I mean, nevertheless, I like In Dark Purity. I think it's a good one. You know, I wouldn't.
Plenty of them, I can understand that. You know, that was kind of a case of where we just didn't have any other options. You know, I don't know. I don't hang out with artists, you know, like, it was kind of like the album was done, and we're the only thing holding the album back from being released is the album cover. So we just kind of had to decide on something, and that's kind of how that happened. But so I can understand that one a little bit. But, you know, hey, you know, people, everybody's a critic, and everybody's got an opinion now. So
you mentioned
deal with it and accept it and move on with it.
Hey, but you got a good one this time around, so that's what matters right now.
Yeah, and we're happy, so that's what matters, you know, the most.
Yeah, you got to make yourselves happy first. You were mentioning earlier when we were talking about specific songs off the new record, and I mentioned "Slaves to the Evermore," and you said that was one of your babies. Can you expand upon what you mean by, you know, these songs are your babies? I mean, are these songs that you nurture over the years, or is it one you just completely write yourself and have no outside help with it? What do you mean by the songs are your babies?
You know, I kind of can't hear you, to be honest.
Uh-oh.
I think I got what you said. basically, we just, you know, did a lot of jamming. Like I wrote a song, like the first song, Eyes Upon the Abyss, and then, like, recorded that, like, my version. And then I sent that up to Matt Barnes, and he ended up doing a version, kind of beefing it up, making the riffs a lot better. Pretty much what you hear on the album is kind of how he beefed it up. And then me and Mark English kind of jammed it out in the band room and, like, worked out a bunch of details, and more or less, you know, it's more or less the way it was written, but we definitely added some things, took some things away, and it's just kind of more of an organic process rather than doing, like, an internet band or something, you know?
No, I got you.
We like to get in there and actually play the songs and kind of work out the bugs.
Metal Blade is promoting a third single, Radiated, in advance of the release of the record, and Metal Blade seems to have a marketing plan for some of their bands where they release up to three songs before an album is even put out. How involved are you in album promotion, beyond interviews, of course? I mean, are you hands-on with choosing singles before an album release, merch design?
Yeah, I picked them all.
And okay, so what beyond that, I mean, merch design, I mean, I know you're the main man behind Monstrosity, but how hands-on are you with all things of the band?
Everything.
Okay, well, how about tour routing? I know Monstrosity doesn't exactly tour all that often, but, I mean, do you, when it comes to performing shows, do you leave it up to the bookers? Are you hands-on with that, too? How much of a role in
touring? Yeah, totally. I'm the manager.
So it's all you, okay. Oh, you know what? No, go ahead, go ahead.
I have a booking agent in Poland that we use, Massive Music. And so I work it out with them. And then we got a few other things. But, you know, like, we used to, you know, we were touring pretty regularly around 2001, 2002. We did a huge tour in Europe in 2006. We did 33 shows in 33 days. So we're not against touring. We like to tour. It's just what happened was, you know, we had kind of toured for Spiritual, and I kind of thought that the album would go quicker, you know. So I took the band off the road. Pretty much the idea was, you know, we'd come back with a new album, and that, you know, I wanted to time a tour with the album's release. And unfortunately, we were going to do that. We were all set to do that, and our singer had some conflicts with scheduling. He had some other stuff going on, so he wasn't able to do it at this time. So we kind of had to put the touring off till after the new year. So that's kind of how that's going. It's going a little slower. I wish it was different, but, you know, I got to take what I get.
Right. Speaking of live shows and Spiritual Apocalypse, I saw Monstrosity live back in 2008. This was at the New England Metal and Hardcore Festival in Massachusetts. I don't know if you remember the show. But
no, I do.
Oh, you do? Okay, so you know where I'm going with this, because I'm watching it, and this was the only time I've ever seen this. You're performing on stage at a festival, and your set is being taken down and removed while you're on stage playing. It was bizarre. I mean, I understand it must be very difficult to keep a fest running on schedule, and sometimes maybe tough decisions need to be made. I get that. But that was a first. I mean, you guys are still playing. And at first, you all of you guys seemed a little perplexed, but you kept blasting away. I think you were doing Final Cremation, in fact. And the people are just walking on stage and taking away your setup while you're on stage. It was bizarre.
And that was like the second song. It wasn't like we played like this long set, you know?
It was.
But yeah, that was kind of an unfortunate incident. It's too bad that it had to go like that. But you know, we were disrespected. We felt, and you know, it turned into ugly. Our merch guy ended up turning into a big old problem. They ended up throwing him out. Ended up leaving right after that. We weren't really happy with that. So.
Yeah, that was. Yeah. That was really, I mean, those of us in the crowd who were, of course, loving to see you guys, we're just like, are you kidding me? Are we actually seeing this? I mean, but they didn't even pull the plug on you. They were just taking the set off. I mean, it was just really, really weird. So, you know, on that note, you know, that one aside, it makes me wonder if you have any other bizarre tour stories, whether, you know, mundane stuff like, I don't know, somebody stage diving the wrong way into your drums, or, I mean, have you ever set up at a wrong venue or drive to a wrong tour stop? You got any crazy, bizarre tour stories?
We've had issues, you know, definitely. There's always something that happens, you know. There's always a good story here and there. But nothing really, like, I haven't had that happen before, that's for sure.
Well, yeah, I think the one in Massachusetts in 08 takes the cake for you then, because, wow, I'd never seen that before. Yeah, you're right, definitely disrespected on that one. All right, so when it comes to touring, I'm going to put you on the spot, okay? And this is hypothetical, of course, but I still want to hear what you have to say about this. Let's say that you've booked a monstrosity headlining U.S. tour, and you have to choose two bands to tour with you, as one is the opener and one is direct support for monstrosity. Now, what two non-death metal bands would you think would make a great lineup for the fans? Not death metal. And no cheating by saying Iron Maiden, Slayer either. I mean, what non-death metal bands would make a great tour with you guys?
That's pretty good. You know, I like a lot of older rock stuff, so maybe something like that. I like Dead Can Dance and Lorena McKennitt.
Ooh, I'd love Dead Can Dance, Lorena.
That would even be cool. Buckethead in South America or something would be great.
Okay. I love Lorena McKennitt. Oh, good choice. She is fantastic. Oh, I love her music. Fantastic. Now, go with me a bit on this one. Obviously, Monstrosity has a history. You've got a classic death metal album, Imperial Doom, from the early 90s when the scene was thriving at the time. And do you feel that you have to live up to the band's past every time you release an album or go on tour? Because, you know, look, many music genres have their heydays, and obviously death metal had one in the early 90s. It does seem that death metal bands that released albums back then seem to always have their music compared, their new music compared to when they put out stuff decades ago. And yeah, you know, other music genres do this too, but death metal is so specific with their sound and style. So it seems like bands are either not evolving enough or evolving too much. I mean, do you care about what you've done in the past when the music that you're writing and putting out currently, does that even factor in? Do you think about that?
Well, I kind of, you know, it's not like I've grown out of that style. You know, like, even though I'll play guitar and I'll do, like, my rock project or I'll do other stuff, you know, I still, you know, for showcasing my drum work and my songwriting, you know, death metal's still, like, the avenue that seems to work, you know. And you know, when it's our music, you know, it's like we can kind of control it, and it's how we like it, you know. So, but yeah, you know, I don't like to stray too far from what we've done, but I still like to grow a little bit. So it's kind of, you know, it's finding that balance, you know, of new but yet still familiar territory for the most part, because, you know, like, I'm the first one that hates it when a band, like, totally changes their style and ends up becoming something totally different than what you liked about them in the first place. So I try to keep it, you know, pure in that respect.
Well, if you Spiritual Apocalypse was released in 2007, so if you had released an album in 2010, do you think, and that's, you know, 8 years ago, do you think that album would have sounded the same or similar to The Passage of Existence 8 years later?
You know, it's hard to say because, you know, there's just different people playing on different albums, so it kind of adds different ingredients, you know,
okay,
and different influences, you know. But to me, that's what kind of keeps it fresh too, you know. It's always kind of having the different writers, you know, I don't get stuck with one guy that's kind of like we've burned out all the ideas and we're kind of done, you know what I mean?
No, I know what you're saying, sure.
So it's like, you know, it's nice to be able to, you know, that sometimes that's like a, you know, even though it's kind of a curse that we, you know, everybody steals our members and looks to us when they need a player. You know, it's also a blessing because I end up getting these killer guys that, you know, they just gravitate towards me. And it's just nice having that fresh influence kind of from time to time and, you know, keeping things fresh, you know, because it's usually pretty much me 50-50 with a guitar player. You know, I write and then they write and then the guitar player will take my stuff and maybe, you know, mix in some of their stuff, you know, depending on what it is. But it just kind of ends up being like, just different influences with different people, you know, so that's kind of nice. And, you know, in the old days, it was a lot of me and the bass player writing, Dan Earp. And so that kind of added a different twist to it, just, you know, writing with the bass. I had a little more scaly things going on, and kind of, I don't know, it's kind of different.
Well, are you the kind of musician and songwriter who thinks about your older music? You know, you hear things you wish you had done differently. I mean, do you dwell on those kind of things? Like, oh, you know, I wish Rise to Power had a different mix, or what was I thinking when I did those fills? And I mean, do you think about that kind of thing? Are you that kind of obsessive singer? I'm a songwriter and musician, or do you like once it's done, you don't even care?
Well, like for example, Ceremonial Void off Imperial Doom. You know, like when we recorded it, like for example, there's like a middle section where the solo is, the slow solo, like real spacey kind of sounding. Like I would, you know, basically there was cymbal catches going on that there's a few in there, but like after playing it for a couple of years, you know, it's just like I got, you know, I'm like catching more of cymbals on the parts and I just, things are more worked out. Like, if the chord holds out, I let the cymbal hold out. If the chord punches, I punch the cymbal. You know, it's kind of like how I kind of react to what the guitar is doing. And so, you know, I hear things like that, you know, that, oh, man, I wish we would have been further along with that, you know, because it's just an early version of the song, you know, as far as I'm concerned, you know. Vicious Mental Thirst, same thing. There was just like cymbal catch things in there that kind of came after the album, you know, from playing the songs so much.
Right.
Okay. And we played the songs a lot before, but like those songs were kind of like the last ones written, so they weren't as fleshed out as like the earlier songs. So that kind of stuff happens. And mostly like what, you know, because I work on the album so long, by the time the album's finished and recorded, like I don't want to hear it anymore, like really, you know.
Okay, that makes sense.
I get kind of burnt out on it, you know, just because you hear it so much, you know, and that's kind of what I do anyway. I'll like even when just listening to songs, you know, I'll have a favorite song and then I just basically wear it out until I can't hear it anymore.
You know, this is a good segue. You mentioned the specific song. Now, I discovered Monstrosity back in 1992 via FM radio in Tampa, Florida on a metal show called The Pit. And you may remember that show.
Yeah,
and I used to listen to that every week, and they played a song, Ceremonial Void. And as soon as I heard that night, I think they used to be on Saturday nights, I heard that and I was hooked, and I had to have the album, and it was the song you just mentioned, Ceremonial Void. And that's also how I discovered like a band like Demolition Hammer. You know, they played Human Dissection, the best double bass song in history. And I, you know, I listening to radio, I fall in love with bands, and I still do that to this day. Back when you were a kid, did you ever tune into FM radio, you know, before your musician days, before you were in a band and all that? Did you ever tune into FM radio to hear new music you were into or just music you liked hearing? Were you a radio kid?
Well, when I started playing, I was 7 years old, and I was pretty much possessed by Kiss.
Same here.
So, like, they were like, you know, when you're 7 years old and you see these guys in makeup and breathing fire and playing this loud music, you know, it was just, exactly what I liked.
Same here, man. I hear you. Exactly. So that, the same.
That was, you know, I was a kid then, and just, you know, you couldn't help but be, you know, affected by it when you were 7, 8, 9 years old. And they didn't play Kiss on the radio, actually. You know, I never understood that because I thought they were, you know, huge, but, you know, they just weren't getting the radio play. And so that always kind of confused me, actually. As time went on, you know, I just got into heavier stuff. So.
Well, do you think FM radio is viable for Monstrosity and even the metal scene overall?
I couldn't tell you. It's hard to say, you know, with the way everything's going with the streaming. And I mean, I'm just glad that, you know, people can check out the music. And if that's the way that they are exposed to it, that's awesome, you know. So,
well, have you been doing many FM radio interviews for this record, even with the Spiritual record?
A few here and there, I think. I don't know about FM, but definitely radio. It's there's like the niche shows, you know, like on a, like the Pit was like on a Saturday night, 1 hour, 2 hours, whatever it is. You know, I find that kind of makes sense because, you know, the normals don't want to hear it. You know, it's still kind of an underground thing, and people don't understand the screaming and the growling and the crazy
right,
stuff.
Right.
But at the same time, it also is getting, you know, as time goes on, it's becoming more popular and people are getting exposed to it. So, you know, it could get bigger, you know. It's hard to say, you know.
Well, you mentioned that you're out with Obituary doing a few shows, but what's the latest with your other band, Terrorizer?
Terrorizer, that album comes out October 12th on the End Records, 14 songs called Caustic Attack. And turned out great, you know. I can't wait for, you know, the one song came out. It's a good song, but it's so quick. I don't know if people get enough of a taste of it, you know. But yeah, I'm real happy with that. We've been kind of, you know, we did a tour in February with Nile, and we did like a month in Europe. It was really cool. Played every night. That was the first time that we got to do a real tour. So that was, you know, in the past we've been doing these one-offs, and it just seems that I always get screwed because, you know, like in the band room, everything's perfect, everything sounds great, you know, but we get thrown onto these weird stages, and I don't know, we just have some bad shows when they're these one-offs. So that was nice being able to do the, you know, the straight touring and having a crew and having everything the same every night. And, you know, we were able to warm up and kind of really, like, you know, play the way that we usually play in the band room, you know. So that was nice. But since then, we've kind of been, we've been quiet, you know. We're just kind of waiting for this album to come out, and then we'll get back on the road. We've got one show in Atlanta in November, Mass Destruction Fest, that we're doing with Nasty Savage. And, you know, we're hoping to get some more touring going after the new year. They're talking about next year, you know, more touring. So I just can't wait for everybody to hear both these records.
Awesome.
You know? So
sounds great.
Between that, I got my solo rock project, Lavoisin. I'm still waiting to record that, but got a bunch of songs for that. The Midnight project I did with Crimson Glory vocalist Midnight from... Unfortunately, he passed away, but
right,
like, we ended up recording a bunch of stuff before he died, so like, I'm still releasing that stuff slowly. But I got my hands full. I got a lot of projects, and I got other projects that I'm not even talking about yet. So lots of stuff, you know. I'm a busy guy.
This is Black Knight Meditations. You're tuned to WSCA 106.1 FM. I'm talking with Lee Harrison of Monstrosity. So what about the stuff with Midnight? Is that something you're going to post individual tracks online for download? How are people going to be able to hear that stuff you did with Midnight?
There's some tracks on YouTube, and you can get it through Conquest Music website, conquestmusic.com. We did like a 3-CD thing. It was like his original stuff, and it's kind of different, man. It was really cool for my creativity, though, because, you know, I do play guitar, I play drums, I play bass, I play keyboard a little, and it was just cool to have that, you know, so someone, you know, I used to listen to that guy when I was 15 years old. You know?
Oh, those first couple of records are fantastic. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're awesome.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, I was like, they were kind of like a generation ahead of me. So when I was like in my bedroom, you know, dreaming about playing music and touring and doing it, they were kind of already out there, and they were the local heroes in my area, Sarasota area.
That's right.
And it was just kind of cool because I'd never met them until like 2007. I'd always, you know, heard about them, but I just never met them. And so it was kind of cool. I always idolized. I thought it was, you know, Transcendence, you know, his vocals were otherworldly.
Oh, of course. Transcendence. The vocals on his first two records are just, yeah, unreal. Absolutely.
Yeah, it was
unreal.
Off the chain. So it was kind of cool. And, like, you know, he's, you know, kind of grew out of that stuff. You know, he's kind of into more of a folky style. And, like, his buddy Phil Anderson that he did the Cicada album with. They were, you know, they're, like I said, they're a little older, and they're kind of into the more kind of 70s rock, you know, and like Cicada, to me, it sounds like a 70s rock album, just because it was recorded with those kind of, you know, I don't know, just that way of doing, of recording, the old school way, you know, so it just has that old vibe to it. So when me and Matt LaPorte, who brought me into the project, the idea was we wanted to bring Midnight back to the Transcendent style, and we really didn't get there. You know, we kind of got there with the song Last Forever. That's kind of like the closest that we got. It's kind of like an 8-minute epic where it kind of goes through all these valleys and peaks. And but there's a lot of, like, just, you know, kind of what he, you know, his songs were kind of folky and, you know, just real experimental, kind of Pink Floyd-ish and Neil Young kind of. And, you know, once I kind of got into it, you know, it was kind of cool. And what I would do is I would just, like, record vocals, like, record in a quick acoustic version, like Lightning Crashes from Live. We did that one. That was, like, a case of where, you know, I just did a rough, you know, played the chords, you know, made a little instrumental version of it with just acoustic guitar and had him sing on top of it. And then I built a bunch of orchestration around it later, you know, where he, you know, I wouldn't have to bog him down with all the details, you know, and I could work on my own, kind of do my thing.
You mentioned the Conquest Music website. How can fans of Monstrosity reach out to you directly?
Monstrosity Band at Yahoo is the band email, and Conquest Music, you can, you know, if you need to get something, you can get a hold of me through Conquest Music. But you know, we got the new shirt up there that's been doing really good. We're real happy with it, and we got we're not selling the Passage of Existence, but we're selling the back catalog, so you can get all the old CDs: Millennium, Dark Purity, Rise of Power, Spiritual. And then other merchandise, you know, the other T-shirts and whatnot. So, but Conquest Music licensed the album to Metal Blade for Passage, so they're kind of pretty much handling it worldwide this time. So I really don't have any, I'm not hands-on with this one necessarily. But they're doing vinyls, and they're doing eBay exclusive stuff, so they're doing all this kind of stuff. So it's kind of cool, you know.
Well, Metal Blade Records, they're putting that out September 7th, so a week from tonight, the new record, A Passage of Existence. I've had it for a few weeks, and I love the record, Lee. I really do. If I didn't like it, I wouldn't be saying it, but I really, really do like it. So the record, The Passage of Existence, coming out next week, and also a soon-to-be-announced headlining tour with Iron Maiden and Slayer opening. Awesome, awesome.
There you go.
Yeah. Hey, which band would get to close their set with Angel of Death? Yeah, you got to figure that one out. No, it's obvious. It's obvious that would be Maiden. All right, so, hey, thanks for your time, Lee. I really appreciate it. Passage, it kicks ass, and I hope it really does well for the band. I hope Metal Blade takes care of you guys. And hopefully we get a U.S. tour from Monstrosity, not just these one-off dates, but a full-on tour. Let's hope
right,
for it, man.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Yeah, no kidding, man. All right, thanks a lot, Lee. Take care, and horns up, brother.
All right, thanks, Mark. We'll talk soon, buddy.